The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Question: when is the last time your parents helped you move? I have to talk about this. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. My name is Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony 8.
Our daughter, Ava Matic, is a first year in college. And so,
she just completed it.
She completed it. I'm very proud of her. She did well. But she's mad. She was guilting me because I did not go help her move her trash bags full of clothing.
There were boxes.
How many boxes, Automatic? How many boxes did our daughter have?
She had about six moving
boxes. Oh my gosh.
She had an entire Jeep Grand Cherokee full of stuff as well.
Oh my gosh.
I want to make sure I heard something correctly. She was mad at you because you didn't help her?
Yes, Anthony. She was mad because I didn't help her. And I thought to myself, when's the last time my mother helped me move? I don't remember. I don't think she helped me move the first time I left home because she was busy. And she was like, Mom, you could have done this. And Dad has to work and he's exhausted because he has to DJ this event. And I said, girl, what do you have? Well, it's a lot, Mom. And I don't have this and that. And I said, okay, what do you need? I need a screwdriver. Go to the Family Dollar and buy yourself a screwdriver. Anyway, man, she did it. She got home last night and Otto told me, Dana, she did such a good job packing everything up.
Yeah, so last night I DJ'd this, it was a huge event, way bigger than I thought it was going to be. There was kids from 70 different countries there.
Wow. I'll tell you,
getting the music right for kids from 70 different countries.
Okay, can you get back to the story, sir?
So I call her when I'm leaving the event, and she's driving home. She's coming back from school, and I was like, how far are you away? And she said, oh, I'm still an hour and a half. And I was like, oh, I'm going to bed. I got to get up early to be on the show. And she was like, Dad, you didn't move me out, and now you're not going to help me move the boxes back in? And she was so serious. And I said, well, I got to get up early. I mean, I've got, at this point, I've got like 3-4 hours worth of sleep. And she's like, I'll be home in a little while. I'll see you when I get home. And she just hangs up. And so I was like, what?
But you did tell me you helped her and that she packed up really well.
She pulls into the driveway. She pops the trunk or pops her back end. And I was very surprised at how well she did, putting everything together. And it only took me like 15 minutes to get everything out of the car.
Her moving ability and her neatness doesn't surprise me. I think Ava's a really smart, intelligent young woman.
Yes.
But what's really surprising is that she's overestimating Dana's ability to help move.
Yeah.
No offense, Dana. You need help picking up boxes. I don't know what
you need.
Bless her soul. She just misses her parents because there is nothing worse than having family help you move.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, dude. That is the worst. The last time my parents tried to help me move, they didn't get anything accomplished but finishing a bottle of Fireball at my apartment.
Anthony, I remember when you told us this story and you said, from now on, I'm hiring movers. I still remember.
Yeah, dude, because me and my two friends were helping me, and then my mom and dad, who are, for the story context, are divorced and have been divorced for 2 decades. So this was like a weird reuniting, and my dad took advantage of it. I remember we got back and I was like, okay, everything's going to be packed up and moved out the house. No, those folks were just sitting on the balcony on nothing, just drinking Fireball. And I was just like, ugh, never. Never again. Never again.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
There's a new way to get from point A to point B. It's a flying taxi cab.
Oh.
I could not believe it. And I've been seeing this stuff since I was little in movies. It's a real thing. Good Morning America caught up with this company that's doing it. I think they're called Joby Aviation. Here's how it works.
The flight takes off from JFK Airport vertically, like a helicopter, flying across the East River with stunning views of New York's famous bridges and that unmistakable skyline, landing at several areas across Manhattan. The hour-long or longer taxi ride to New York City, down to just 7 minutes in the electric air taxi.
Used to, we would just see this in movies, I immediately thought about The Fifth Element, which right now is being featured on Netflix. Remember Bruce Willis was a flying taxi cab driver?
Sorry. You just had an accident.
Yes, I know I just had an accident, you daffy bastard. You have one point left on your license. Look out!
Oh,
no, left!
Any survivors?
And that's why I wouldn't get in this thing. Because I just don't trust it. I don't know. According to reports, once this goes through in New York, and this is why the company chose a city like New York, it's going to be easy to get through all over the country. Because New York is one of the most difficult places to fly in.
Yeah, because they have limited airspace. Whereas, yes, you know, a lot of other cities are going to have wide open places.
I was just thinking, as much as I fly, I could just catch an air taxi and it would cut a bunch of time off my travel.
One of the good things about this, other than me being, because I'm super frightened, is that it will always require human drivers.
Oh.
They will not ever, because of regulations and everything else, it will always require a person to be behind the wheel.
They won't be behind the controls, right?
Yes, yes.
It's a drone. So they won't be in there with you, but they'll be controlling from the ground.
I'm looking outside the window right now of our Darth Vader building, and there are people back to back that would love to be flying, that would just fly past all of this. Think about in New York, when you land, if you've never landed in New York, you land at one of the airports, either JFK, what's the other one?
LaGuardia.
And it takes you an hour to an hour and 45 minutes just to get into the city of Manhattan, if that's where you're going. Cutting that down to 7 minutes is insane. Think about the traffic that's going on. You could get from your home to wherever you work in no time. But here's my thing. What's it going to cost? And
that's the part.
Is it safe? Because I'm scared. I'm looking at this thing and it's kind of frightening to me.
I mean, flying is safer than driving. And, you know, you got road ragers and I don't think we'll have air ragers yet.
So eventually air ragers will come.
I'm sure I'll be an air rager at some point.
Once you get up into the sky, air ragers have arrived.
I can't believe you flew to my left. You were supposed to go right.
I can't wait till we can do this on our own, though, because I loved the Jetsons growing up. I wanted a flying car so bad. I wanted to be Elroy. I wanted to
Who's fly Elroy? Around. I never watched the Jetsons, Otto.
Elroy was the little kid. I wanted my own little personal Rosie. You know, she was the robot that went around and helped everybody.
Yeah, now you married her. Oh my gosh. All right. I definitely would. I would get into it, I guess. I don't know, though. It's still kind of frightening. Let everybody in New York test it out, and then it can come here, and I'll check it out.
Some people are still scared. Would you be more scared to go driverless car or one of these air taxis?
Driverless car. Plus, I think the driverless car thing, I'm just not here for it. I read recently that it's literally taking tens of thousands of jobs away and millions of dollars inside the economy. And I just know we can't do that. That is a thriving industry and we need to keep men and women behind the wheel.
Yeah, keep people employed. Exactly.
Got to keep people working. So I am not here for it. And if they do the driverless cars, there needs to be a limitation. In my opinion, that's just me.
Somebody wants the rideshare drivers to listen to us. Whoa. Jeez, dude. Pander.
Someone lobbies for humans. I'm robophobic.
I'm pro Waymo because of all these.
No. Yes.
You know what? I love my rideshare drivers who get us from point A to point B after a night of bad decisions. I love you, rideshare drivers. It's not you that I'm worried about. It's the driving class of 2020 who learned how to drive a car during a pandemic. I don't trust those people on the road, all right?
Maybe they should have an extra test. There you go. We'll stop that. Would you get into an air taxi? 877-730-DCS1. Text or tap in.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Willie Beeman is a father again. Jamie Foxx is having another baby. Let's talk about it after celebrity birthdays, Anthony A.
Funny comedian Angela Johnson Reyes is celebrating her birthday. Creator of Star Wars, George Lucas, also celebrating birthday. Rob Gronkowski, Mark Zuckerberg, and Miranda Cosgrove.
Okay, so Jamie Foxx is about to be a dad again to his third child with his girlfriend Alice Huckstep. This is her first baby. They got back together. They kind of split up last year. They've been dating for a minute. I don't know if it had to do with his illness or not, but they're back together. Obviously, everything's going well, and they're having a baby. I don't know if they're having a boy or a girl. We don't know yet.
Who exactly is Alice Huckstep besides Jamie Foxx's girlfriend?
I do believe she's a fitness trainer, Otto. I'm not 100% sure. She's gorgeous, by the way, like stunning woman. Well, why would Jamie Foxx date anybody other than somebody who's beautiful? And obviously he's very happy with her. Maybe they broke up, then he got sick and he realized how much he loved her and they got back together. Really, that does happen. Because remember, man, he had that incident.
That does make sense. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what would possess a man at 58 years old to have another child. I'm not even close to that age, and I can't even think about having another baby. Ooh. But I guess his financial situation is a little different, so he's going to have somebody who can watch the baby 24/7.
Yeah, his much younger girlfriend. But go ahead, Anthony.
Didn't also Cameron Diaz also had a late baby now, too, right?
She's pregnant. Yeah, she's expecting a baby right now.
Well, she's not pregnant. She's got somebody.
No, you're right. Sorry. Yes, you're right. Yeah. This is her third. Is it third child through surrogate? Her and Benji from what's that group that the guy?
Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte. Okay. I feel like I'm sniffing a topic. I think we should talk about when should you stop having children or should you? Is it anybody else's concern? Because Cameron Diaz recently spoke about the judgment she's receiving for having a baby. Remember, she's in her 50s now. So, Leah, let's talk about this.
I mean, she's going to be 70 when her kid's finishing high school.
Well, as long as she's alive, who cares? And you didn't say all that about Jamie Foxx. You said his money was good.
The same goes for goes for Jamie Foxx. He's going to think about it. When he's going to be almost 80 years old.
Well, you didn't say that though until I called you out on it. Is it different for men and women? 877-730-DCS1. I definitely want to explore this topic another day. Check out the photos of Jamie and his beautiful girlfriend, Alice, at Dana Cortez on Instagram.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We're just not getting the exercise that we're supposed to be getting, and it is becoming an epidemic. Dr. Sutton was on Good Morning America explaining this.
More than half of Americans are not getting the daily amount of recommended activity that they're needing every single week. A new CDC analysis found that only 47% of Americans are getting their recommended 150 minutes of moderate physical activity. That's activity where you're breathing harder, but you're still able to hold on to a conversation. Reason why this matters more than most realize is because that physical activity is the most powerful tool that we have to reducing our risk of heart disease, diabetes, dementia, and even certain cancers.
So that's just an hour and a half a week. We could do that. Come on.
Two and a half hours a week there.
Okay, 2.5 hours a week.
Oh, whoa, we got some math geniuses here.
I'm like, settle down.
Dana, automatic inject. I don't know why you guys are so quick to yell at her about it. It's not like either of you guys work out 2 hours a week.
I don't think I get in 150 minutes a week. No.
Every day we do anywhere from 46 to 52 minutes, sometimes an entire hour. I time it.
Are we also counting that bow chicka wow wow time?
We're not even counting that. See, that counts.
That's
little
like
things
three.
You do. It is.
Tops.
Minutes. Anyway, back to seriousness here. It's super important. We lead such sedentary lives. Now, everybody just sits.
2.5 hours a week of actually working out is a pretty significant amount of time.
But he said just to where your heart rate is up and you can still carry on a conversation, Otto. This isn't like strenuous, go run a marathon.
At least like get out and walk for 30 minutes.
Thank you,
if
Anthony.
You can. Walk in place if you need to. This is going to make me sound so 30s. I've been at least walking 2 miles every day for like the past year, and it's actually helped me combat my pizza and sweet tooth addiction.
I used to walk in place in front of the TV for years. Remember, I used to be 60 plus pounds heavier, right? And I've kept the weight off for well over a decade, and I'd flail my arms all over the place with these weights, and I'd say, you look crazy. But you know what? It worked for me, right?
It did work. It got you back on track. I jump rope for about 15 minutes every day.
You could jump rope for 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Like a day?
Yeah. I'm still pretty good at jumping rope.
Dude, that's pretty impressive, bro. That's pretty impressive. I mean,
you should see me jump rope, dude. I was a boxer for years.
I'm not trying to body shame you too much or anything like that, but you've really cut down your weight over the past 2 years. I feel like you've been a little leaner.
Jumping rope?
I think we're going to need to get a jump rope in the studio so I can get it on video.
Are you questioning my jumping rope experience?
Jump rope.
Dana knows I can do this.
We're questioning the time. You want, let's 15 do 15 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, I did 5 minutes without messing up.
Okay. All right. We're going to do this challenge next week, okay,
yes.
On social media. I think we should do it for real. All right. So follow all of us at Dana Cortez, at DJ Automatic, at Anthony A, and we'll be back after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
A library book was returned to an Idaho library 110 years past the due date.
What?
How much do you think the late fees were? Take a guess.
$1 million.
Oh, dude.
Nobody reads anymore.
The thought is mind bending. Bending. Mind, I thought it was minding like a bind of the book.
We're
going
to move on to the amount that was due, $800. But the library waived the fee.
Oh. Yeah, because the book's probably worth more than that now for resale.
It's the new Chronicles of Rebecca, written by Kate Wiggin, published in 1907. Sick. The librarian said whoever had the book took such great care of it. It's a hardcover, and it looks great. 110 years later, a Good Samaritan
took it. It was sitting in some chest somewhere. Nobody even thought about it. This is what happened.
The book cost $1.50 back in the day.
Somebody
could be
like, yo, you age like a fine book.
There you go. You age like a fine book.
Well, here's a story for that book. Did I ever tell you about the homeless man who found a ring worth $4,000?
No, you did not.
Well, yeah. Obviously, he returned it because
returned
we would never
it,
know.
So there was this dashing lady by the name of Sarah Darling, and she was walking around her day, and she dropped her wedding ring. Turns out it was worth $4,000. She came back the next day when Billy Ray Harris, a homeless man, returned the ring to her, not knowing it was worth $4,000.
Well, either way, though, he returned
it. What'd
she
give him?
Check this out. She set up a fundraising page for him, and now that's accumulated over $180,000.
Oh, damn.
So Billy was able to get a house, a car, and has a new job.
So think about this. He was only going to get half of $4,000. You ain't never going to get what a ring is worth.
Ooh, talk about
and
it.
And it's doing the right thing got him a new life.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Kendrick Lamar and Dr. Dre went back to high school. Let's talk about it and let you hear what Kendrick had to say about his favorite teacher after Celebrity Birthdays Anthony A.
Very funny comedian Angela Johnson celebrating her birthday. We also have George Lucas celebrating his birthday, Rob Gronkowski, Mark Zuckerberg, and Miranda Cosgrove.
Okay, so Kendrick Lamar and Dr. Dre returned to their Compton High School. I did not know that they went to the same high school. Obviously, different time periods. But they went back to be dignitaries, to speak to the class. And guess who joined them? Also from L.A., East L.A., actually, Will.i.am.
Oh.
Yes.
Man, that is some star power right there. That is probably three of the biggest L.A. hip-hop people, period. I mean, the only person they're missing is Snoop at this point.
Otto, though, kids were going crazy. Compton Centennial High School was turned up, especially when Dr. Dre stepped up to the podium. He talked about investing forward. He talked about never giving up. But the best moment was when Kendrick Lamar ran into his favorite teacher. Take a listen.
Ah, so good to see you.
And he remembered his seventh grade science teacher. So he said, I'll never forget you.
That just goes to show what an impact teachers make.
Man, an outside belief from another adult, and especially somebody in the role of a teacher thing, can really, you know, propel you. I mean, look what it did for Kendrick Lamar. And nowhere near am I saying I'm near that same stature, but I've had a teacher who's made a similar impact on my life. And I still talk to my creative writing teacher from high school to this day, as a matter of fact.
Anthony, tell us the story, though. I think it's important.
Oh, okay. I think you're talking about the story about Mr. Hollis, right? When he pulled me out of the remedial and slower learning classes. And Mr. Hollis was the man who said, you know what? Your story talent and your creativity is enough to get you into my regular class. And he believed in me. And that was a moment that definitely defined and changed my life, for sure.
It matters what teachers say to us. You know, I remember having 90% of my teachers were so good. Then there was that 10% that would say some things to me that would just be like, what are you doing?
Dana, you remember we ran into I think she was my seventh grade social studies teacher. It's been a while, but we ran into her and she told me, she was like, oh my gosh, Otto, I can't believe I haven't seen you. I didn't forget you. I just remember you were such a leader, but you just didn't have any followers.
Oh,
what? I looked at her and I was like, what? I was like, what does that even mean? She's like, you're just basically a loser.
You know what? You march to the beat of your own drum.
That's where we're going to go with it.
And has she seen your Instagram now? You got some followers, okay?
I got some followers now.
Check the amazing video. I think it really is such a monumental moment. And to the class of 2026, congratulations. Hey, we'll be back after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.